Last week we talked about, can faith without works save somebody? And the answer to that question is no. We looked at James chapter 2. I thought a good lesson that would go along with that is with regards to adding to our faith found there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 11, which was read for us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us that we are God's workmanship and we've been created for good works. And so there are the good works of God that we are supposed to be doing. They have been prepared beforehand for His people, and so we need to know what they are. We need to be practicing them. And so in our scripture reading of 2 Peter in chapter 1, and I'm going to go ahead and turn over there and put my marker. You might want to do the same as we turn away and come back to it. It's not a new passage for us, but we have a great passage before us that instructs us with things that we need to add to our faith. While Jude teaches us to contend earnestly for the faith, the totality of the doctrine, the gospel, Peter has in mind our individual faith that we would add to it. There are things that we need to be doing as individuals, and so they're not stepping stones. I don't think they're placed in a specific order. What's really interesting is to figure out what to call them. Many will say the Christian graces, and I've always thought, I'm not sure how the word grace fits into all that. But try some time, as I was even trying to do, to figure out, what do you call these? Do you call these traits? Do you call these characters? What exactly do you call the things that we're adding to our faith? But we are supposed to take the teaching here and strengthen our faith, make it stronger. It is all these characteristics that we're going to be talking about. These principles, this teaching, this instruction is something that's intended for our belief and conviction in God to grow and to grow and to grow. It's a faith like Abraham's faith in James chapter 2, verse 21 to 23, which we studied last week, how when God instructed Abraham to offer up his son Isaac, that's exactly what he did. And because he did what God commanded him, that was laid to his account as righteousness. God saw his faith. It was manifested by his works. And Abraham's faith wasn't somebody else's faith. And your faith is not my faith. So this is an individual matter where each of us need to take this lesson this morning, as has been prayed about in the prayer before Bible study by Brother Hester, that we would pay attention, we would want to develop and strengthen our faith, and this is a lesson that I think will do that very thing. James chapter 2 and verse 18 teaches us to have, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And so this is, when we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, these are the things that people will see in our life that will in fact manifest our faith. And that's very important, because if you'll look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, which is the passage we often turn to in some way or another define faith, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So your belief in God, your conviction in His Word, your conviction in Him, your stand, your trust, your faith in God. And it's the substance of things hoped for. Well, it gives a reality to things that simply are not seen, but yet you hope for them. You anticipate all the good. And that's based on the fact that God cannot lie and that God's promises are true. And we see physical things, but we don't see the spiritual things. But faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. And then the second part of that is, he says, it is the evidence of things not seen. And so when people see our faith, it actually gives evidence to the things that you physically cannot see. And when you think about this particular passage, there's a lot to it in the words that are used here. To take something that cannot be seen, but to see it through a person's faith is the thought, the evidence. Why is it, and if you think about it, why do you not curse? Why do you not use vulgar language? Why is it that you don't steal? Why is it that, like we talked about the other day, we don't lie. Why is it that we do not do sexually immoral things? Because we believe in God. And because we believe in God, we respect His Word. And because we respect His Word, it manifests itself in our conduct. And that's why when someone sees, like Jesus talks about, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The good works that Paul said God created before the foundation of the world, that you and I are supposed to do them. Because what it does in a dark world is it manifests people, you and I, God's people. It brings to light our belief in God, which actually gives evidence to the fact. Why would I not do these things? Because I believe in God. Because I have faith. And I also see the blessings of His promises. When we look at what Peter says back in chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, add to your faith. So we have defined faith, but he says, give all diligence. And the word diligence means speed. Get at it. And I like that. That's from Strong's. If you want to do something, you get after it. That's the type of language that we use. That's the idea. Add to your faith and give all diligence to do this. Get at it. Do it with speed. Do it with urgency. Actually, Thayer, in his defining of this word, he says it's taking interest in adding to your faith. And so he's talking about striving for something, taking interest in it, strive for it. It's like Simon, he called up before they came home, and he said, Dad, can I borrow the keyboard? And I said, okay. Well, Simon just all of a sudden got it in his head that he wants to learn how to play the piano. So his mom asked him the other day, how's that going? He says, well, I've learned the one song that I want to learn. Now he's going back to some of the basics. It's kind of like Nicholas. When he decided he wanted to play the guitar, he went right after John Mayer, which blew my mind. But he got really good playing difficult stuff, learning how to play certain chords. I mean, he would sit and watch a video on how to make a specific chord. He got after it. That's what you saw him doing. That's what Simon's probably driving Kinsey nuts. I actually knew, he didn't say anything, but I actually sent him one of the old adapters to go from the big plug to the little plug for his headphones, because I know eventually somebody's going to say, can you turn that down or what? So I just said, Simon, would you like to have that? I happen to come across it, because you just don't go out and buy one of those things these days. So I put it in an envelope. But the thing is, he's getting after it. Give all diligence to add to your faith. Take an interest in adding to your faith and get after it. And add to it, the first one is virtue. Now, this word is very special to me because the Greek word is arte. And when I was in college, I was actually the president of arte. And the word arte means excellence or virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Moral goodness is what Thayer's defines. Strong says excellence. Give diligence to add to your faith virtue. Moral excellence. Moral goodness. And what a good way to define a group of kids when the things that they're going to do, whether it be in the competition or in the work projects that we did, that we were going to give our very best because we are arte. We want to be virtuous in the things that we do. And so that was the thought behind the group. That's why that word was chosen many, many years ago. Do your very best and live each day in a righteous way. That same word is used over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And this is a passage that we're familiar with, but it's found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, where Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there is any virtue, excellence, arte, moral uprightness and goodness, if there's going to be any of that, and if there is anything praiseworthy, do what? Meditate on these things. So if you want to start with, well, what do I need to do to have a virtuous life? Well, I'd turn to a passage like this and say it's all about the things that I think about. It's the things that I meditate on. It's the things that I do on a day-to-day basis. The good report, the lovely things. He says to add to your faith knowledge. And all of us know that's more than book knowledge. We're not talking about just learn all you can about science and things in general. Just, you know, swallow it all up. Just know a little bit of everything or everything about everything. What he's talking about is what he mentions at the end of 2 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 18. Turn over to the end of the book. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What kind of knowledge is he talking about as adding to our faith? He's talking about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when you think about what should I do? Well, listen, go read the gospel. Get at it. Go read Matthew. Thank you for the good thoughts. Obviously, you've been thinking about these things, and that's appreciated. It expressed itself in your excitement around the table because he had been thinking about it. He said, this is the type of things that I like to think about. And when you look at the Gospels, you're going to see the things that Jesus did. And you're going to get this knowledge. In fact, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So if you want to just get all of the understanding, just look at how Jesus approached people. Look at his teaching. A lot of his teaching was, don't think about the physical things. I'm using a physical story, but I want to tell you about more important things. And understand the urgency of his message. And understand the goodness that he did in his life. And the compassion that he had. The more knowledge we have, the things that we mine from the scriptures, the more equipped we're going to be to do what? To live this type of life. To live a virtuous life. Because I know the scriptures. And I follow the Savior. But you know, knowing something is more than just simply knowing something. I'm convinced that most of what I'm going to say this morning is not something that you do not already know. The trick is, the key is, taking what we know and actually comprehending it and it motivating us to do what? Give diligence to it. Get at it. Right? In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is the fool, he says, that disrespects God, that disrespects and finds insignificant God's wisdom and the instruction of God. That's the fool. But those that fear the Lord, that's where the beginning of knowledge is. You understand that who God is. And because of that, you respect him and you respect his word. Well, give diligence and equip yourself, which the knowledge that James says comes from above. The joy of learning the Word of God. I didn't mean to, but when the kids were leaving on Wednesday night, I ended up filling in for Dale. And as they were leaving, I said, get your lesson done. And have joy doing it. You know, don't look at this as this like, oh, do we have to, and roll our eyes. Have joy because of the need to add to your faith knowledge. The next thing he says is self-control. I have to have control over my actions. Be turning over to Acts chapter 24. I have to have control over my actions. I have to have control over my thoughts. Some things are good. They're not wrong in and of itself. Chocolate is good. Who doesn't like chocolate? Don't raise your hand. There's going to be somebody here that doesn't care for chocolate. But follow the illustration anyway. Chocolate is good, but too much chocolate for a teenager is going to cause a lot of acne problems. And too much chocolate is going to cause weight problems. And too much chocolate is going to cause problems for somebody that's a diabetic. So chocolate in and of itself is good. Well, there are a lot of things that in and of themselves are not wrong. But we have to have self-control to choose the better over something that may not be wrong, but the better thing is to do this and to then administer self-control. It's a mastery over things that are evil, and even liking to participate in things that are evil. So when you come over to Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, I have to tell on myself. The other day, Leon Molden was speaking the other day, a couple months ago, and he asked a question, and immediately I knew that he was talking about this passage. And so I immediately shot out, because I knew this is what he was looking for. And I just threw out judgment, and he goes, "Now, what's the order?" And now he put me on the spot, because I was just tickled. I knew exactly what he was talking about, right? Well, you should have seen me fumbling around trying to get all three of these in order. And finally he goes, "Is this important?" And I didn't hesitate. I said, "Yes." But boy, I felt about this big, because my mind wasn't thinking quick enough. What Paul says to Governor Felix, we studied him the other day, in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, "Now as he reasoned about righteousness," you got to live right. And he said, and that's going to take self-control to do what's right. Now, why do you do what's right and have self-control? Because there's a day of judgment coming. And that's what Felix needed to hear. And it's a summation of what God is trying to have us understand. Add to your faith self-control. Because to live righteously, you're going to have self-control. Because there is a judgment day coming. Give diligence to add to your faith self-control. Perseverance. Add to your faith perseverance. Some of the translations say patience. One of them says steadfastness. It's the idea of keeping on, keeping on. Give diligence to keep on, keeping on. Get at enduring, persevering, being steadfast. Give a lot of effort to do this. Because you know what? What we're talking about is consistency and constant, being constant in our faith. Which, what we like to do is we just like to say, "Well, I'm up and I'm down and I'm up and I'm down." No, God wants us to be doing this. And here's the picture. I'm doing this, and I did something wrong. I slipped back. But what do? I seek forgiveness, and I keep adding to my faith. And I keep moving on to perfection, which we don't like that word, but the Bible teaches us to strive to be like Jesus Christ. We should get better at it. Well, we have to persevere. Mount Rushmore took 14 years. And the gentleman who was doing all of this sculpting, Gudson Borglum, and I don't know that I got that right, you know, he died a few months before. And it was his son that finished it by the end of the year. Now, how do you do something like that? I've not seen Mount Rushmore. Who's seen Mount Rushmore? I know Lisa's been out there. She grew up not too many stones throw away from that over in Minnesota. Nobody's been to Mount Rushmore? I don't believe it even exists. Do you? My father-in-law used to say, I think it's a backdrop with a projector screen. I can't imagine. How do you accomplish something like that if it's not through perseverance? Do you think there was days during the 14 years you didn't want to get at that? But how was it going to get done? It was going to take a lot of perseverance. Well, that's the idea. When it comes to our faith, we have to persevere. We have to stick to it. There'll be joyful times. There'll be sorrowful times. There will be hard times. But we press on. Like Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 14, "I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. I press towards the mark. That's the idea. Persevere. With all of these, add the word diligence at the front. And keep in your mind, get at it. Get at it. Add to your faith perseverance. In James chapter 5 and verse 11, have we not heard of the perseverance or patience of Job? You know, if we start thinking that, oh, woe's me, you just got to go back and look at what all happened to Job. And he says, naked came I into this world, and naked I'm going to leave. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Patience, perseverance, steadfastness. Keep pressing on. He says, add to your faith godliness. We're talking about holiness, reverence. We're talking about respect for God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, if you look at the first part of the book, he says that we have been given, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. All the things that come through the knowledge, all the things that we apply to live a life of virtue, God has given us the things that are needed to live a pure and holy life. And it's obtained through that deeper knowledge that we have of God. If we understand God abhors sin, and we grow to have a disdain and a hatred for that which is wrong, sin, not a person, but sin in and of itself. And you can look at a person and you can say, boy, their whole life is just messed up. Look at sin. Look at how sin destroys, and hate the sin and try to convert the sinner. We understand God. Well, it's that time of year. I see Sammy Joe out there saying, I'm at fitness thing, and good for you. Makes me feel about this big every time. I'm like, oh, Sammy Joe's just, I don't know why I had to spot that. So I always default to what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. He says, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. No, I understand. It has value. But I'll tell you what, it fits well with our thought of adding to our faith. Do we set goals to say, I'm going to add to my faith. I'm going to add these things. I'm going to add this year. I'm going to make sure that I focus in on my godliness. And I'm going to get at it. Brotherly kindness is an important attribute of our faith. Those in Christ are a family. The household of God, it is called in Scriptures. And we are to add to our faith a love for our brother and sister in Christ. That's a kin. And we know what it's like to have physical kin. And we know how much we love our physical kin outside of Christ. And that can be difficult and that can be challenging. There's always an uncle crazy and an aunt, you know, Looney Tune, probably in every family. And that makes it difficult and challenging, but we love them nonetheless. And we have a kinship because we have a fellowship in Christ, fellow laborers in Christ. And one of the things I like to think about is I have four brothers, one is passed, five brothers, six boys, no sisters. I have no dealings with having a sister. So you can imagine having daughters has been new to me. Now I've got two daughter-in-laws. But you know what? I've got a ton of sisters in Christ. So many I can't even count. Many I've never even met that maybe I'll soon meet. And I want you to understand that that is a special relationship. I don't know how to teach an appreciation without just saying we need to appreciate brothers and sisters in Christ here. It should be a joy to meet someone new at another congregation, to meet sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. That's kin. That's a special relationship that we share. And we need to add to our faith brotherly kindness. Kindness, actually, again, wanting to know, wanting to learn, wanting to have a relationship. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, let brotherly love continue. We all understand that Greek word is Philadelphia. And we understand that that is important. It is something to add to our faith. The last thing he says is to add to our faith love, to get at it, charity. Love for my brethren, love for my neighbor, love for all of mankind, love of my enemy. Jesus did that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As he's hanging on a cross. Can I learn to do that? Can I learn to have that kind of love? A genuine affection for people? Even those who know not what they do? There are going to be people that harm us. They're going to say hurtful things. But I love them. For they know not what they do. And we do the best we can. We don't lash out. We recognize that vengeance belongs to the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, love will cover a multitude of sins. Agape love. And it works, I think, in any way you want to look at that. There's some discussion as we talk about my sins, the sins of the other. I think it does a great deal of good because love conquers a lot. The greatest of these is love. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I want to take a moment just to read verses 4 through 7. Add to your faith love. Love suffers long and is kind. And I would add that when you think about this, when we're not showing love. Love suffers long, is kind, does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How do you want to add to your faith love? I would get into the scriptures. One of the thoughts that came to mind in Bible class is, Brother Don Miller said the other day, if you want to know something that God is telling you his will on, you don't just look at one piece, do you? You don't look at one scripture. You have to look at the totality, the sum. You have to pull them all together. Well, if you want to learn and understand how to add to your faith love, I would go look at the different ways that love manifests itself. The love that Jesus had for his Father, the love that Jesus had for mankind, the love that Jesus has for his disciples. And we can just learn and we can grow from that. Now as we close, go to our scripture because the great benefit that is found when we add to our faith virtue, and this abounds, it's something we get at, it's something we give diligence to, we add to our faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love and love. Well, he uses this in the negative. I'll flip them around when they're in the negative because what I want you to see is the positive. He says, you'll neither be unfruitful, right? He says there in verse 9, for he who lacks these things, I'm sorry, let me back up. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we add these things to our faith, we will be fruitful. Another thing he says that we will not be short-sighted because he says if you lack in these things, you are short-sighted. And what does short-sighted mean? It means we're not looking far enough off into our future. Because what is in our future? The meeting of our Lord and Judgment Day. And if I don't add these things, I am not seeing past the end of my nose. I'm not looking off to the reality of where our life is headed. But if I'll add these things, he said, flip that, we're not short-sighted at all. We're not blind. We can see. We understand because we hope for things that are not seen. And it is by faith that we have this hope of things that we do not yet see. And we have not forgotten the cleansing of our sins. But if we don't add, we've forgotten what's been done for us. And we'll be even more diligent to make our calling and election sure in verse 10. And he says, if you do these things, look at that. Never stumble. If you'll add these things to your faith, you will not stumble. And we'll be able to go to heaven. Because he says in 10, Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you want to go to heaven? Then I would suggest you add to your faith virtue. And to your virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly love, and to brotherly love, love. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when we talk about faith, see, people want to just say, oh, I just believe. There's a lot to add to our faith. And when we add these things to our faith, we can be pleasing to God. And without faith, we will not please God at all. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Then why not come in faith and repent of your sins and have your sins forgiven in the waters of baptism? From this day forward, what will you do? You'll give diligence to add to your faith these wonderful things that Peter has revealed unto us this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, can we help you become one? By washing your sins away in the blood of Jesus Christ, go down into the water and wash your sins away. Maybe you're a child of God and things are amiss. Can we pray with you and for you that your sins may be forgiven as together we stand and sing?